Time for us to take a look beyond the headlines with Peter Dykstra from his perch down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Peter's an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. What you looking at this week, Peter?
Hi, Steve. You know, all the concern that we've heard just absolutely erupting over the past year on plastic pollution in the oceans, in our streams, in our landfills, everywhere. There's another side to that that is not going to help very much.
And that would be?
Cheap fracked oil and gas is prompting a major build-out of plastics facilities in coal country where jobs are hard to find. And above Pittsburgh, there's a new plastics factory proposed for the Rust Belt area by Shell that will make literally billions of plastic pellets each year.
Well, what kind of pushback is there against this?
Well, it's a bill in Congress. It's sponsored by many of the most prominent advocates of the Green New Deal, including Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It calls for a 3-year moratorium on new plastics plants in Appalachia and elsewhere, perhaps in Louisiana. That is a point of the Green New Deal, but it's unlikely to ever pass.
And this isn't just the only controversy around fossil fuels in the news this week, right?
No, it isn't. And advocates for action on climate change might take a little bit more heart in this one. There's been an ongoing blockade of railways in Canada in protest of a Canadian pipeline proposed to run through First Nations territory, a Mohawk reservation in Ontario. The blockades have literally put a lot of Canadian rail traffic, passenger trains, and freight trains out of business for the time being. And it has the industry so spooked that a company called Teck has announced that they're dropping a $15 billion tar sands mining project in Alberta. That pipeline would take fossil fuels, in this case gas, and move it from Western Canada to the big cities in Eastern Canada.
Even as we record this, Peter, the price of oil seems to be down in response to the coronavirus outbreak. I think things are changing, huh?
Things are changing, and we have no idea where we're going. But that one little thing is something that climate change advocates can take heart in.
All right, now's the moment that we look back in history. Pull down that book from the shelf, Peter, and open it and tell me what you see.
Well, we'll blow the dust off the history book. You know, we haven't used it since last week. And we'll turn to March 7th, 1998, when President Bill Clinton signed a bill making Lake Champlain the 6th Great Lake.
Okay, and why?
Well, it's certainly not for its great size. Lake Champlain has about 6 cubic miles of water in it. The next closest of the 5 original Great Lakes, Lake Ontario, has about just short of 400 cubic miles of water in it. What it was about was not branding. It was about money, because being designated a Great Lake would mean that Champlain gets access to a cut of about $250 million in Great Lakes science and research and anti-pollution funding.
But I imagine the 5 real Great Lakes weren't too happy about this.
Oh, they were mean girls. About 18 days after President Clinton signed that bill, they got a compromise worked out where Champlain would not be allowed to call itself a Great Lake, but it would still have access to a cut of that money.
So I guess it's a pretty good lake, huh?
Pretty good.
Maybe someday they'll make Champlain great again, huh?
Maybe, and we'll have to have MCGA hats.
Okay. Hey, Peter Dykstra is an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. Thanks, Peter. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, Steve. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories at the Living on Earth website, loe.org.